Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
It is hour number two of the program here at 412-928-9370. Our show is brought to you by the good people of PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865. Also, we are running on number one Cochrane. Go One Better, ride in style with all the great dealerships they have around Western Pennsylvania and Ohio at number one Cochrane. The text line, you could call it, same as the call-in number at 928-9370. Edgar Snyder and Associates present that to you, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. And Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them, southhillskia.net. I want to not overlook Pitt, because I think the start at 11-2 is a good one. We have their game coming up against Stanford. They just took on Cal. Who would have thought the first two home conference games are against teams 3,000 miles away or whatever it is? But they come cross-country to play. Pitt is shorthanded a little bit, but still, I asked Joel Nelson, and you can give me the answer here. I thought I saw something where Joe Lunardi did not have Pitt in the field, but you're telling me that is updated and it's not correct, that they are in the field. Where are they?
They are a number six seed playing in the Wichita, Kansas portion of the bracket, according to Joe Lunardi, in what looks like the South region, and they would take on Texas Tech, an 11 seed in that game.
All right, 6-11, that's a pretty good matchup, I think, and they should be that kind of team based on what we've seen. Let's go out to Brian in Fox Chapel, joins us and wants to talk about Pitt Panther basketball. What's up, Brian?
Hey, Bob, how are you?
Good, what's going on?
You gave me a little anxiety there. I had to pull over and check the Lunardi.
Yeah, you know, I saw one that was not updated, and this is an update. So obviously, This is a fluid thing. And these sometimes I wonder if it's even worth talking about, because there's so much basketball left to be had. You know, I'm watching Arkansas take on Tennessee right now. John Calipari's team is 11-2, and he had to scrap his entire roster once he got over there.
No, that's all right. I just, after going through last year, where you know that Pitt team should have been in the tournament.
Totally.
But I think they're on a mission this year. They are shorthanded. You know, they're playing without two starting guards. And, you know, my question is, where are the crowds? You know, I mean, this team, this program is, this is 3 years in a row. This has been a fun team to watch. It's a great atmosphere down there. You know, I'm just surprised. I mean, I go to all the games. I'm just surprised the crowds haven't,
yeah, I think that's what did they have the other night, by the way? I wasn't there. I was watching it, though. It didn't look very filled. What was the attendance?
They announced 7,000. It was a pretty energetic crowd in the second half. But
No, students yet, though, too, right? They're not back, or they weren't, at least.
No students. The classes start Wednesday, so there might be more students tonight, but yeah, I mean, it's great value. It's a really fun team to watch.
I agree. And there should be more, but You know, I think there's something about where that basketball arena is and trying to get to it in Park. I still hear a lot of people talking about that. But listen, it's worth a value, and you're going to see some pretty entertaining basketball. So hopefully people will start taking note of it, especially if they can keep winning their home games, and they got another one tonight against Stanford.
Well, Bob, on the parking point, I completely agree. They should have – I mean, there is parking. I mean, I remember going to Pitt Stadium, and they somehow 60,000 people would get there. And there was probably less parking then. But they should have addressed parking instead of building, and I think this was one of the big mistakes by Heather Like, instead of building that wrestling and volleyball arena, they should have put everything into the Peterson. You already have the money sunk into that. Mm-hmm. They could have played all those sports there, made it an active facility, saved the debt that they're in, and addressed parking, and then addressed the on-campus football stadium eventually, which is badly needed.
I got you, Brian. Thanks. I hope you enjoy the game tonight, and we'll see if Pitt can get to 3-0 in the ACC. Top of the board we go. It's Simon in Pittsburgh. Simon says what?
Hi, how you doing, Bob?
What's up, Simon?
So there's sort of a lot of talk that I've been hearing, especially on the radio, about, you know, Tomlin not being the right coach and firing Tomlin. And I do think there should be something said about how he's developed quarterbacks. First with Mason Rudolph, he was supposed to be Ben's predecessor. That didn't work out. Didn't work out with Pickett either. But I don't think that, like, firing Tomlin, if we lose out this season, is the right move just yet. I say you should let Wilson walk and see what Tomlin can do with Fields, because I think he's a better talent than Pickett and Rudolph was. But if he can't really crack that either, then I think that's where you sort of let go of Tomlin and try to find someone better who can develop a real franchise quarterback.
Well, I think, Shane, you hit upon something, or Simon, you hit upon something interesting there, because this whole offseason will be what will they do with their quarterback situation? And even if they bring back Russell Wilson, it cannot be long-term. So at some point you have to reanalyze this whole position and come up with answers that are not just, right. You don't want to get into this, you know, like the Colts have done with veteran after veteran after veteran, one-year deals here and there, draft a guy who may not be as good as you think in Anthony Richardson. They got to hit on this at some point. I don't know if it happens now, and maybe because they don't have options available to them because of where they draft or in free agency, that maybe they'll sign Wilson for a couple of years. I wouldn't put a lot of money into Wilson. I know this because, as I keep saying, father time wins out, and some of these older quarterbacks sooner or later start going the other way quickly.
Yeah.
But what would you do? I mean, I'm okay with Wilson in a couple of years, but if he wants more than that and more money, I don't know if I'd go there.
Yeah, I think that, you know, the next two games are going to show a lot about what they'll do with the quarterback situation. I think if we lose out, lose the Bengals, lose in the first round, I don't think they should bring back Wilson at all, even if it's cheap. I would bring back Fields on a cheap deal and see if they can sort of develop him into a guy. Even if he's just a bridge, I think there's more meat on that bone. And that's what I would do. And if that doesn't work out either, and Tomlin can't turn him into a quality starter, that's when I would think you would look at other coaching options and say, who can bring you and develop you a real franchise quarterback?
Thank you, Simon. Appreciate your take at 412-928-9370. I do think that is going to be a very intriguing question. And there are so many quarterback rooms around the NFL that will change and have changed and will change again. We mentioned earlier, we're talking to Paul about Sam Darnold and J.J. McCarthy, and what do they do? Do they sign Darnold? Darnold, I'll say this about him, and that should be a great game tomorrow night, by the way, 14-2 versus 14-2, probably the biggest regular season game, given what's at stake ever on a Sunday night. But, you know, do you ignore the fact that, you know, Sam Darnold's in a nice position? They saw a lot of him and liked what they saw, but in that offense with Kevin O'Connell doing the shot making, and also two of the better wide receivers in Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison, not to mention Hockenson is their tight end. They got a lot of weapons there, and he's taking advantage of that. But can he operate that way if he went to another team? You know, you could play the hypothetical game. What if Pittsburgh wanted to sign him? I mean, there's a lot of money involved. He's still young enough where he can be that guy, but he also has shown in the past that he may not be that guy. Let's go out to Shane in Swissvale. Shane, you're on the air right now. What's going on, man?
The name is James.
Okay, sorry. It says Shane. My bad.
And I wanted to talk about Tomlin a little bit. And I know people have been down on him, but I believe rightfully so. Anybody with an eye that could see the game, like the last two games against Kansas City and Baltimore, We were down two scores from Baltimore, and we were down three scores from Kansas City, and we had 11 minutes on the clock. And this is a coaching thing where how come we don't pass the ball to the sidelines and people stop the clock? How come we don't run out of bounds when we're in that situation to stop the clock? That is very bad clock management, and that's been going on for over 10 years with Mike Tomlin. And people could dispute it, but the facts are on film. And also, he had bad, bad player management. We have lost a lot of good, great players, receivers, running backs, bad because we drafted these players, and there's nobody that got a head on their shoulders that could manage these kids to understand what they need to do.
First of all, and thanks for the call, James, that's not been the case with a lot of guys. Put the blame on where it belongs with some of you're talking about. Now, if you discipline them earlier, I understand that whole thing. But at some point, the player has to recognize his own faults and deal with them. Okay? There have been a lot of guys who've come through here, and you say, well, they let him go away. What has Chase Claypool done since he's gone away? You know? What did Martavis Bryant do since he's gone away? They're talented guys. And first and foremost, as a football team, yeah, you want to have good players and nice personality guys who are good for the community. But you got talent. They drafted talented guys. Those talented guys also come with some issues, it looks like. The diva quality in wide receivers, generally speaking, there's a lot of it going on, and we see it even now with George Pickens. That's also got to be your own accountability as a player person. You got to do that. I don't know where George Pickens' future will be. I don't know if it's going to be here or not. I have my doubts. He's a second-round pick, so there is no fifth-year option, right, Joel? I think he has one more year left after this, and that's it. They don't have to do anything. They can keep him here, he's going to want a new deal at some point. That's another question that has to be answered, as is the running backs, as is a lot of things on their team. They have to make decisions based on financing. Anyway, let's go back to the lines. You have Sam in West Mifflin who joins us right now. Hey, Sam, what's going on? Sam. I don't know what Sam's doing. He may have gone to the bar to get a drink. It sounds like he's in a bar. All right, Sam. Last chance. All right. Bye, Sam. Let's go to Jim in Jefferson. What's up, Jim? How are you?
Hi, Bob. Always enjoy your shows.
Thank you.
I just want to mention the gentleman that was talking about the parking. There is parking available. Of course, there's a cost center up by the OC lot in the back off of Aliquippa Street, and then they have shuttles that run you down to the Peak. But they also have shuttles that run from Lower Oakland, for example, Soldiers and Sailors. So you can park at Soldiers and Sailors lot, hop on a shuttle, and come right up to the Peak. They leave you off right in front of the place. So parking shouldn't be an issue. And there are seats available. Now, the one thing that they're talking about doing, which I'm not in favor of, is talking about reseating the Peak this year. In other words, they take all their season ticket holders and then reassign you a seat. Now, when we first went up there, and I've been a season ticket holder for 51 years in football and basketball, okay? Not quite that long in basketball, but a long time going back to the Fitzgerald, okay? But when they opened the Peak, we got a chance to pick the seats we wanted. Now, we were reseated a couple of times. We moved up a little bit. We have nice seats now and the club seats, and we love them. But if you're going to do that to your season ticket holders, I know several season ticket holders that aren't real happy about talking about reseating them. They've got the seats they want. They've been paying for them for a long time. Leave them alone in this reseating crapola, because what happens is you get some corporations that come in, et cetera.
Yeah.
They want to buy seats, better seats. So they displace the people that are long-time supporters of this program for that, and then it ends up those seats go empty a lot of times, and it looks like heck. Okay,
yeah,
and I just don't want to see,
that
happen.
You're right. The corporations have money to spend, and they're willing to do it at lump sum prices, and they'll get
right.
A lot of them. And so it does make it difficult. I mean, I see that at all sporting endeavors, not just here, but in other situations where, you know, they take the ordinary fan who's been supportive of all these years. And they don't give them first dibs on some of this stuff. So I understand that. But thanks for the call about the parking situation, Jim. I appreciate that.
Hey, I want to mention something about Lenardi, too,
okay.
If you're still there.
Yeah, go ahead.
But, you know, my theory on that last year was Lenardi's got a tie-in with ESPN, and so do a few of those other boys. They wanted to have some better teams to go into the NIT. The NIT is on ESPN as opposed to the NCAA on CBS. They needed some good teams in that deal. And I think Pitt was one of the ones that wanted in there when there were a couple others. Was Indiana? Well, it turned out that didn't work out for those boys because those teams said, we're not playing in the NIT. So I got to wonder if that had anything.
TV always has something to do with it. There's no question about that. So I don't think – I'm not going to comment whether or not I think that's the case or not because I don't know. All I know is that TV will define who gets what and where you play and how you play. But thanks for the call, Jim.
Sure.
Appreciate that. 412-928-9370. I'm asking this question now because I get a lot of people who, it's funny, the Twitter takes are interesting. You're going to get people who think there are certain teams that are going to make runs here and win a Super Bowl, others are not. My first thing here is, because I don't have time to respond to everybody, I wish I did, I don't. But Joel, I think if I'm going to look at the teams, in the people just do not want to give Kansas City enough. I know they're tired of Kansas City. But people make it sound like Kansas City won't have a shot because their offense hasn't shown much. They don't score in the 30s, which they haven't. It's a really interesting dynamic that they have yet to score a game into the 30s, and yet they're 15-1. But if you're going to tell me that you think Kansas City won't survive in advance in this tournament, I'm going to have a hard time believing it. They're playing two games at home where they've been historically very good in these situations. Can Buffalo get in there and win? Yes. Can Baltimore go there? Yes. But don't make it sound like they're going to be underdogs because they won't be. They're at home with Patrick Mahomes, under center with Andy Reid as their play caller and their head coach. And I think you got to give Kansas City more of a due than people are giving it. The hot team to pick is Baltimore. I get it. They're playing very well. Buffalo also. Buffalo can be really good. Is there a surprise team in the AFC? Joel, if you had to pick one team that could be a surprise, would it be Denver? I don't even know if they're going to beat Kansas City tomorrow. Kansas City may not play a lot of guys, but they still are good enough and well coached enough they can go in there and win.
It absolutely is.
Chargers, is that a team?
Bob. Yeah, if it's not Baltimore or Buffalo, I really don't know who else can take down Kansas City, the two-time defending champions.
And they're going to get rest, and they need it.
They're going to rest all their guys. As long as they have Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, and they're going in there at either 16-1 or 15-2 with just the one loss being all the backups, I have no other explanation as to why they would not win their first game.
Yeah, I don't care who it is against, but it doesn't matter. They're at home. They normally do well there. I think their defense is better than people think. Chris Jones now will be back for the first playoff game.
15-1 is 15-1.
It is. And like I said, Mahomes doesn't get a spot in the Pro Bowl, not that he cares, but he could use it as motivation moving into this. They have a lot that they want. That carrot's out there. They could be the first team ever to win three in a row. I think they're going to be highly motivated for it, so I wouldn't discount them altogether. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. We'll continue the conversation about the Steelers and the Bengals. What kind of game do you expect tonight? Who has to step up for the Steelers? And how desperate is Cincinnati? And will you see that in their play? Because they have to win. They have to win, and they have to hope some things happen tomorrow, one of which is Kansas City losing to Denver. 412-928-9370. Doug, hang on. You'll be first up in the next block as we continue to roll along right here on the Bob Pompeiani Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Hey, football fans. It's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
With Joel Nelson behind the glass, Bob Pompeiani here at 412-928-9370. Hit us up on Twitter. Mine is at KD Pomp. Our show is brought to you by PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865. Very efficient. They do a great job with their online banking. If you've not done it, need it. It makes life so simple. Virtual wallet is outstanding. Also, number one, Cochran. Many, many dealerships throughout the Western Pennsylvania and Ohio area. Shop in style, ride in style with number one Cochran. Go one better and join us for the number one Cochran Sports Showdown tomorrow night and every Sunday night, 11:35 is that number. Doug in Bethel Park has been waiting a while. Appreciate your patience, Doug, and what's going on?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Bob. Happy New Year, you and your family.
You too.
And, I totally agree with you with Kansas City. Until somebody takes them out, they are the favorite to win the Super Bowl. My question for you is, if things start to go sideways tonight and they cannot move the ball on offense, seeing the Cincinnati's defense has gotten a lot better, will they switch to Justin Fields?
You know, that's a question we bandied about, Doug, because I think, you know, they may be inclined to do that, especially if things aren't working well and there's pressure up the middle or whatever, or Wilson gets sacked or I don't know. I don't think they want to do that, but if they're down and they need a spark, I would never rule that out, because I think he can do that in a lot of different ways.
Well, they're going to know what happens with Baltimore before the game starts.
Right.
So one way or the other, they know that, you know, they're going to have the 3 seed or they're going to have to play for the 5 seed. And if they have to play for that 5 seed, they better win this game, because if they have to go to Baltimore, they will get boat raced right out of the playoffs, one and done again.
Yeah, I mean, it could be a long start. If they drop lower, you know, they can go to the 6 seed. It probably won't happen, but they could.
Correct. But I think Justin Fields is the long-term answer. I would re-sign him. Because you see all these quarterbacks in the NFL now. You got Sam Darnold. You have all these guys that were high-round picks that went to these different teams. Baker Mayfield, they didn't give him a shot in Cleveland, and he threw 5 touchdown passes last week. Justin Fields gets in the right place, gets settled, gets coached. I think he will prove that he is a top-5 talent.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people out there who are in your camp here, Doug, just because – of his abilities and the fact that he's been in a bad system in Chicago, which changed coordinators every single year, head coaches every single year. I think it did have an effect on him. I like what he did here in the first 6 games. I do think there was still more for him to give or more to show. If they believe longer term that he could be their answer, that might be something they do. Again, the plan to me, though, is they wanted Wilson here for a reason, and I still think that they'll end up trying to get him to sign something 2 or 3 years.
They got Russ here for the reason he was injured to begin the season, and now he gets under pressure, and he is not Justin Fields. He cannot get the pressure is getting adjusted to Russell Wilson now. I have a strange feeling Cincinnati is going to blitz 50 to 60% of the game, and Russell Wilson is going to be running for his life, because they know the Steelers' receiver core is not what it's supposed up to been the last couple of years.
Yeah, but they also know that the Steelers have scored points on them. And last year at a game here in Pittsburgh, it was George Pickens who had over 200 yards receiving. So, you know.
I remember that, correct.
Yeah. So, I mean, it depends on how this thing goes. If the wind picks up, it could be a problem also in terms of passing the football. But, yeah, I wouldn't rule that out. And I think Justin Fields, if you're looking for greater upside and potential to find your answer that goes beyond 2 or 3 years, because in 2 or 3 years, you're going to have to readdress this situation one way or the other again. And Justin Fields won't be here for that. He'll be someplace else, you think. It just depends on what they think of his potential and his ceiling. If they believe they can get more out of it, and I think they got more than Chicago did out of 6 games, then they may consider that. But these are all going to be determined here in what should be a very busy offseason.
One other thing, and I'll let you go, is that Cincinnati's running back, that kid Brown.
Chase Brown. Yeah, he's 10 yards away. I don't know. He's questionable, and I get the feeling they were going to try to figure him out today and make a decision. It's supposed to be game time. I think Higgins is going to play. That kid's been good. He almost has 1,000 yards, you know, a fifth-round draft pick. And
but just cold weather and that ankle.
Yeah, I know, but they have nothing. They got to win. So if you're close or if you're able to, I think it's all hands on deck for them tonight.
All right, thanks, Bob.
All right, Doug, thank you. Appreciate the call at 412-928-9370. David in Youngstown joins us right now on the Fan Hotline. Hello, David. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Bob, and thanks for taking my call. Great show.
Sure.
Great show. Real quick about college football. I've been watching the playoffs, and, you know, I'm a former Pitt player, so I'm a Panther. And I'm just curious. My question for you is, what is missing from the Pitt program that you see at Indiana, at SMU, Arizona State, you know, make the playoffs? You know, when I played, we had some great talent, and you know, people talk about the on-campus stadium and what have you. And we competed with Penn State. And we had some great battles with them. What is missing with Pitt football that, you know, you see Arizona State or Boise make the playoffs, but Pitt, for some reason, you know, can't compete?
Well, I think it's, first of all, you got to get consistent play at quarterback. But I also think in this day and age, are you talking about right now in the NIL world that we live in?
Yes, I mean, even right now, I mean, Arizona State, Boise, Indiana, I mean, is it that much difference as far as money?
Well, those conferences are different. I think those conferences, now the ACC of all of them was the most disappointing. I don't know what their bowl record was. It was horrible, though. I think it was like 2-12 teams in the ACC did not do well. And the fact that both of them that were in the playoff got eliminated quickly. I think just Pitt, it's to me, very difficult to attract top-notch talent here, especially now if you're going to have to pay it. They have a problem with resources. I just saw that Magic Johnson was willing to give Michigan State as much as they wanted to improve their NIL get in terms of, you know, their Spartan basketball team. You got to have really deep-pocketed guys who are willing to spend, and if you could throw that out there, it could help. Beyond that, Pat Narduzzi was brought here as a defensive coordinator, and their defenses have not been very good, generally. I think they got to improve a lot, but a lot of that is talent. A lot of that is in this day and age now, man. You got to every year you got to bring in a whole new roster of teams. It's very difficult if a team like Pitt. There are a lot of teams like Pitt who just can't take that next step because of the resources that may not be available to them.
Yeah, that's true.
What do you think? What do you think Eli Holstein is going to do? Has he made up his mind? Have I missed something there, Joel? I haven't seen a word.
Coming back.
Is he said he's coming back? Okay. How much is that going to cost? Dave, when you played, what was it like when you played? And I'm not trying to get you to share any crazy secrets here, but, the money now is flowing everywhere, maybe so much so that it needs to be harnessed a little bit.
Yeah, the top-notch players, under the table may have been getting some things, but overall, talent-wise, like I said, I mean, late 80s, early 90s, we had some talent. We had some dogs, man. So, now, again, NIL may be a difference there, but you're looking at roster construction. Penn State has 16 Whipple players, and they're getting some studs coming in next year.
Recruiting is that's a whole different topic, and I think James Franklin has out recruited everyone in this area.
Right,
he always does. And there's a lot to sell up there.
Yeah, they got the Aliquippa kid coming in. They got Sieg from Fort Cherry. I mean, we got kids in our own backyard that won't go to Pitt for some reason. But again, man, I'm a Pitt guy, and I love Pitt football. I was just like Arizona, Indiana, a basketball school for some reason. Now, I know they're Big Ten, but come on, man. So hopefully we get there. Coaching-wise, Narduzzi, he's a Youngstown guy, man. I say that's my dog, but I don't know, man.
Well, and they signed him for a long term. So I don't – that's one thing I think has changed. As much as the NIL player stuff has changed, I think – as an administrator now, you would never need to sign a coach like they just did in Indiana, Cignetti. I don't know if Cignetti can replicate what he did next year or the year after, but he got a big contract as a result of 1 year. I don't think you need to do that anymore because coaches come and go anyway. Why would you want to put yourself in a position where you got to pay somebody $70 million to leave,
Right.
A buyout? I would just go, listen, I said, if you're in my program, prove to me. I'll give you 2 years and we'll go from there. It'll be highly paid. But I'm not going to owe you any future money if I want to make a change. I don't know if that's going to change at all, but the whole – do you like it the way it is, David? Since you're a former player, I'd like to get your take on this because I think it's out of control right now.
As far as players?
As far as the way it is, yeah. I mean, the fact that these guys can be transferred now, it does. There used to be a – now it's just you can go anywhere you want. Guys have 5, 6, 7. I saw a guy just had 9-year career in college football.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't like that. But I tell you what, the transfer portal, I really don't have an issue with. Because I've been there, man, where a new coach comes in or a coach brings in his recruits and you're kind of like left out to dry, man. So back in the day.
Someone's not paying you enough now. And that's open territory, right?
Well, again, coaches can't have it both ways. They can't complain that other team, that the transfer portal's in there while their cohorts are poaching their players. You know what I mean?
No, I get it. No, I'm saying – but the point is you have to re-recruit every year now. So if you're lacking in that department to begin with, and if you don't have the funds, and I think more now than ever, the money is more important than anything else. These guys are going to go where the money is.
Yeah, yeah. And so, again, I mean, I am in favor of the portal. I mean.
I don't have a problem with the portal. I don't like the fact that you could use it every single year at your, beck and call. Just leave anytime you want because you're not getting enough money. Something has to be done there. Yeah. Otherwise, this is going to be way out of control.
Right. However, if you see a coach, if you see a player that's bouncing around year to year as a coach, would you want that kid? I wouldn't want that kid on my roster. Because like you said,
you can't guarantee he's going to stay, though. If Holstein's staying, fine. They have other guys on that roster who may be, you know, looking for more money. If they can't get it and they feel like that's something they deserve, they're going to leave. I just think it makes it much more difficult on head coaches and their ability to keep players after they recruit them once. You're going to have to re-recruit them or go someplace else. And again, most of them are one-year deals. I don't think it goes beyond that.
Yeah, that's true, Bob. But at the same time, the Washington coach take his team to the championship, and then he bounces for Alabama. So sometimes, man, you know, sometimes
the board did that, you know? And coaches do. I get it. It should be a two-way street. I think it is developing into a two-way street. It's just there needs to be some sort of guideline in it to make it work so that everyone – but I don't think you're ever going to get a chance where everything's equal anymore. It just doesn't happen.
I agree.
But anyway, thanks for the conversation, Dave. I appreciate it, man. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. Pitt basketball on their way to hopefully a 12-2 start. They take on Stanford later tonight. That game is a 6:30 start time. Also, the Penguins, they have a game coming up against Carolina now. They lost. They got a point last night against Florida, which to me is a step in the right direction. They had chances to win that game, but they go to a shootout and they end up losing that thing. But I see advancement there. They're in a playoff position as we speak right now. Hopefully they'll be in one, so we have something to talk about as we get into April and May. We're due for a break, 412-928-9370. Again, coming up at the top of the hour, it's Donnie Football with Mark Caboli, Jason Mackey, over at the Rivers Casino, getting set for the Steelers and the Bengals. The Bengals still favored in this game by 2 points. What will it take for the Steelers to win this game, and how important is it for them to win this game, knowing that they can, again, we'll find out at 4:30 what Baltimore does, but do you expect Baltimore to lose? No. 96% chance, according to these metrics, Joel. The only thing is, will they cover? If you're making a bet on that, that's a lot of points. You can see some late game kind of, okay, I'll surrender a touchdown because I don't care to cover back cover for Cleveland. Would you bet that if you had to bet it?
For the Browns game today?
Yeah, would you take the 20?
I think so, because it's just that big, you know?
Yeah.
Unless the Ravens win this thing like 34-7.
Yeah, but I think 20 points is a lot of points. Anytime I see that many, I'm tempted to go with it, regardless of the team I'm betting on. They're not good. They should lose. They should want to lose because where they are in this NFL draft status right now. Anyway, we're due for a break. We'll take it right here. I want to remind you, our show is brought to you by PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865. Number one Cochran. Go one better. Ride in style with number one Cochran. Back with more up until 3 o'clock. Bob Pompeiani Show right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Kickoff tonight at 8 o'clock, Acrisure Stadium. The Steelers trying to end a three-game losing skid, taking on Cincinnati. Bengals are two-point favorites and are desperate. Give them credit. They were 3-8 at one point of the season. They fought their way back to where they are right now, which is in a position where if they win, they need some help. The Steelers have certainly been in that position before over the years, where they have to go and need some help, and they would need it in the form of specifically Denver losing to Kansas City, which could happen. I think Denver's favored in that game. Just because of the fact that I think oddsmakers know that, you know, guys like Kelce and Mahomes probably won't play a lot. That's an interesting debate, though, Joel. If you're Andy Reid, they played last Wednesday, right? And so counting this week and then an off week, it's going to be almost a month before they actually play a significant game. Now, we've seen instances of this over the years where it's been good and bad. What do you think? Do you think it'll affect Kansas City at all or no? Maybe that's just much ado about nothing.
Well, Kansas City is Kansas City, and I hope this isn't apples to oranges, but I mean, all the college football playoff teams that had byes, they all lost games,
that's a good
you
point.
Know? So that raises that topic a little bit. What I would do if I was Coach Reed, I think I'd have those guys play maybe one or two drives so that they're still just a little bit fresh and still in some form of game action instead of this, 25 or so days between one game to another, the most important game of their season coming up later this month. I would have them play a drive or two, whatever they want to do.
Sort of like a preseason game. Just give them a couple of takes. And
it's what Buffalo's going to do against the Patriots tomorrow.
Right. A little bit of taste and then move on. But I think it is important to have a little bit of action. Some people look at that and think differently and think you're putting your players at risk. You can put them all over. Guys get injured in practice day in and day out, it seems. So 412-928-9370. Let's go on out to Cannonsburg right now. Rick is on the line. Hello, Rick. Welcome to 93.7 The Fan.
Hey, Pompinator. Happy New Year, brother.
Thanks, brother. How are you?
I'm doing good, Bob. Hey, Bob, just two quick points I want to make, because I think a lot of your earlier callers made some very good points regarding Tomlin. And I like to view this very objectively when it comes to him, because I do, to your point as well, I want to give credit where it's due. I think he had a lot of success during the turmoil with, like, the Duck Hodges year and was able to rebound. But, I mean, I think as a fan, I think we're all just starting to deal with, like, kind of the fatigue and the complaint, the complacency with the organization. And on a personal note, like, watching Hard Knocks and, you know, some of the press conferences, I think the well-compensated statement that he made, it just kind of rubbed me the wrong way. I mean, what say you at this point?
Well, I mean, first of all, in those situations, aside from that comment you just spoke of, Tomlin always looks really good. He's a master of how he to express himself in a way that some of these guys have never heard. But with regard to overall coaching, and this is my assessment and has been for a long time, I still think Mike is a very smart football man. He knows a lot about it. He knows how to motivate players, I think, although this goes against what we've been seeing in the first quarter of games. You would think that that's going to be the time where you can come out and strategize and come out with your best offensive, you know, first 15 plays coming out cold, because they don't know what you're going to do, and you can look at certain weaknesses. But, you know, overall, his coaching staffs in general have not been very good. I go back to the Matt Canada situation. There was really no good reason to hire him. Unless you want to be still in charge of calling certain plays or being in charge of that offense, even though you're not the play caller, but you can dictate how things are gone. And the same may be true all the way through. There is significance to the fact that that so-called coaching tree hasn't had any branches. But I look at New England's coaching tree under Bill Belichick. Most of those branches were, not very productive branches. Those guys who left him didn't do all that well on a regular basis. So that would be my number one thing, is just, you got to figure out a way to get more vision here, when it comes to whether it's play calling on offense or schemes on defense and when you put those things on there. Having said that, you mentioned, Rick, about fans. Fans are fans. They're always going to want more. We've seen this with Mike Sullivan. These guys are really good coaches. There are a lot of guys out there who are good coaches. But at some point, if you don't put up the kind of wins in the postseason, then you get criticized, and you will get criticized. We've seen it with James Franklin. We've seen it with Ryan Day. We've seen it with a lot of coaches. Some organizations are quick to immediately move on. That can be risky. It also can be good. In Philadelphia, they've gone away from Andy Reid twice, and they turn things around. So it's just about but for me personally, it's just about upgrading coaching positions. That's all, more than anything else.
That's a great point, Bob. And I guess, like, just real quick, you mentioned Andy Reid. And would you say at this juncture with Tomlin's career with the Steelers, is it comparable to how Andy Reid was with Philadelphia? Because I certainly do.
Yes. He didn't win the Super Bowl. He did get to an NFC championship game. Tomlin early on in his career had a lot of that. And, I'm not one, I don't know how you are, but I'm not one to just say strictly it's because of Cowher's players. Listen, you had carryover no matter who you were. You're going to have a roster. Now, is there a criticism to have Ben Roethlisberger all those years subsequently and not win playoff games or not as many as you would like? Yes. I think that's true. The expectations are high, and that's why you try to meet them. And I think this year we'll see what they do in the postseason, but I think it's incumbent upon them to not only get in, they are in. It's to win wherever that first game is. And I don't care if it's in Baltimore or Houston, you got to win it.
You're the man. Thanks, Bob.
All right, Rick, appreciate the call. 412-928-9370. As we are getting closer to the top of the line with Fan Game Day at the Rivers Casino, let's go out to the Strip District. Gary joins us right now. I'm sure the Strip District is buzzing today, or at least it should be. I love going down there, Gary, and I don't know if you're there for food or whatever you're there for, but it's a great place to hang out.
Oh, yeah. We're out here getting some fish here. So, but anyway, hey, Bob, you're the best. I just want to bring up, like, I know Andy Reid, you take Russell Wilson and you take Pat Patrick off of that team, or if you switch them. Like, Mike Tomlin has done a great job. Like, this team, look at the other teams that have lost their franchise quarterbacks. The Saints have lost Breeze whenever he was gone. The New England, whenever Brady's gone. I mean, the list goes down the line. And Tomlin has kept this team very strong. He's kept them very strong. And he can only coach the talent that he has. So.
Well, no, hey, listen, I think there's a lot to be said for keeping teams competitive every single year. And I know that's an old thing here that people get tired of, but it is true. You keep them competitive despite the turbulence that's involved. But I also know that he has a heavy hand in who he drafts and what he brings in here. And he's the guy who does have input there. So I thought it was a bold move by the entire organization to just get rid of everybody in the quarterback room and start over there. But even that comes with, okay, how far does this go? How far do you keep Wilson? Can he be productive? But, and if not, what do you let Fields go? Can Fields turn into something? There's so many questions.
Bob, I think Fields, and I like him. He's good. He's a backup. He's like Kenny Pickett. He waits too long to throw to guys. He doesn't take 1, 2, 3 throw. And at this point of his career, you can only blame coaches and things for so long. And he's a nice backup, but he isn't the answer here.
Well, I will tell you this, and thank you for the call, Gary. I hope you got some good fish down there because they're great places to go. But, Justin Fields also could be like Sam Darnold. You put him in a system that really is work. I don't know. People were down on Sam Darnold. How many places did he go to? He and Baker Mayfield were both in Carolina at one point at the same time. Both are no longer there, and both are doing well, to the point where I thought Baker Mayfield should have been a Pro Bowl player. And Darnold could be an MVP of the league based on the numbers. Now, the right situation helps players, make no mistake about it. And I'm just wondering, Justin Fields has a kind of talent that makes me really curious about what he could turn into down the road. And I say that knowing that he's a 25-year-old kid, whatever he is, versus a 37-year-old next year Russell Wilson will be. So I think that's part of the equation as well. Real quick, one final car. It's out to Hopewell, my own stomping grounds. We got Chris in Hopewell Township. Hello, Chris. How are you?
Hey, Bob. You're a legend over in Hopewell and Pittsburgh. We love you here. Hey, I just wanted to say, a lot of people are down on the Steelers, and I get it. I know. But it seems, about a month ago, people were saying they could go to the Super Bowl and all that, and things changed, the 3 losses, and they were pretty bad. But if we played to Houston, and we have a chance with them because they're horrible too, and then, anything can happen in football when you get in the playoffs. So who knows? They could even go to the AFC Championship. So I'm looking optimistic.
Right? Well, I had a conversation with Tony Romo. Chris, thanks for the call when he was in town. And at the time, he thought the Steelers had enough to be a Super Bowl contending team. And I realized those 3 losses changed everything. But if you go back and analyze the losses, okay, first of all, the Baltimore game was down to, if Wilson doesn't fumble when he did, and of course the defense could have helped him, and then they didn't, 96-yard drive the other way, it's a 14-point swing, but even late in the game, he had an opportunity with the ball in his hands to tie the game, and they threw a pick 6, and that ended everything. So that game was, the only one that was really out of control to me was the Kansas City game, where I thought they were completely outclassed in every possible way. Kansas City came here, dictated terms. You can tell, that they had control of this game from the start, and that's the only one. So, having said that, you got to win a playoff game this year. I really believe they have to, just for their own growth. Last year, to get into the playoffs, they were competitive to a degree with Buffalo. This year, get in, win one, and hopefully put it, be in contention for the next one after that. But it starts tonight by playing better, and they have to do better against the Cincinnati team. It's a desperate team. It's going to be a good test for them, no doubt. And we'll see what their defense can do against Joe Burrow, who's as hot as it can be. Again, a 4-person race, I think, for MVP of this league. It's Josh Allen. It's Lamar Jackson. I'm going to ask you, I'll put you on the spot here, Joel. I made my announcement on this the other day, and I think it's very close. I think Saquon Barkley, Allen, Jackson, and Joe Burrow should be in this conversation. Who would be your MVP pick of those 4?
It's really tough.
It is.
Because, like, the betting favorite, I think Josh Allen is that. Right now, if it was a deep dive into everything, you would think it's Joe Burrow, right? Just the way he's had to put the team on his back, and it's unfortunate that they've had a really brutal defense and have lost a bunch of really close games, but the heater that Joe Burrow is on right now is quite something.
So, in your mind, he should not be responsible for being on a bad team. In other words, he's been the reason they've gone from 3-8 to where they are, 1-4 in a row, and he shouldn't be penalized for being on a team like this. A lot of people believe you got to be a playoff team to be in consideration for MVP. I happen not to be one of them. I look at it individually in each case. Now, Barkley, you know, I hate to think that a running back is disqualified because he's a running back, but he is, essentially. If he doesn't win this award this year, no running back ever will win it. They should maybe change the name of it, because that's a once in a generation type of effort that he put out this year as a running back. I know it's 17 games versus 14 the way Eric Dickerson did, or whatever it was, 16. But still, there's a place for that. But we'll see. It's going to be an interesting vote. There are a lot of interesting votes coming up. Joel, appreciate it as always for you navigating us through this thing. And I want to thank all the callers. And hopefully, if you're on your way to Acrisure Stadium, you bundle up, because it is going to be cold. There'll be some tailgate action down there. Hope to be hitting one of them myself. I hope they have some hot cider and spike it a little bit, whatever that may be. I want to thank you for joining me here. And once again, thank you to our sponsors, PNC Bank, Brilliantly Boring Since 1865, and Number One Cochrane, Drive in Style and Go One Better, and watch the Number One Cochrane Sports Showdown. That's tomorrow night, 11:35 on KDKA. Coming up next, we're going to go to the Rivers Casino for Fan Game Day, anchored by Donnie Football, flanked by Jason Mackey and Mark Caboli. It's all right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.